We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this woman, not traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
Today, I'm talking with Kareem Marouki, who is the CEO of CrowdFavorite and has lots of years, 23 years of experience working with enterprise clients, big clients, complicated clients. And today we're going to talk about some of the pains of when it's time to end a client relationship, whether on their side or on your side, and how that is, man, like a really significant emotional challenge for, I think, many founders and entrepreneurs. So thanks so much for talking with me, and I'm excited to hear about your experiences, Kareem.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we got to know each other a little bit at Cabo Press and have since then gotten to do a couple professional things together and are going to both be in Miami for WordCamp Miami.
That's right.
That's going to be fun. And in the course of those conversations, some of the things that we've talked about are the kind of, you know, really, I don't even know how to talk about this, like complicated relationship or just the emotional investment that goes along with really working, you know, day and night sometimes for clients that you want to serve well, and the challenge that happens when that relationship doesn't end well or has to end and maybe you're not ready for it to end.
Right. You and I have a common friend who also is an agency owner named Steve Zengit, and we all give him a hard time because he says, I don't have clients, I have friends. But that's what ends up happening in your own mind, whether you want to call them a client or not, when you have a long-term client relationship. It gets complicated.
Right. You're invested.
Yeah. And sometimes, whether it's their fault, their idea, your idea, it's over.
I was going to say, maybe to help kind of frame the conversation, you know, you've been doing this a long time. Have there been particularly painful client losses that you can talk about?
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind is I had an automotive client for 17 years. 17 years of work in and out across quite literally multiple agencies. And one day, they decided to move. And when they decided to move, they said, you have to cut your prices 20%. I was so blinded by the pride of, I use this client in all my pitches. I tell everybody that I've had the same client for 17 years. I'm not willing to let them go. This is a point of pride for me that, not to be cheeky about it, but I chased that dragon for months. I tried to figure out how to lower our costs. I tried to figure out how to change our service model, if I could literally hire local people where they were going to be. I mean, I did everything to try and figure this out. Way past the healthy point of this just isn't going to work. I have a lot more opportunity and I'm creating a lot of opportunity cost by not just walking away.
So it sounds like there was this emotional investment that you had that kept you from kind of seeing the writing on the wall or the facts of the situation.
Yeah. And as logical as we want to be, this is business. That plays into, you know, I'm building a company here. I'm responsible for my employees. I want to do good work. It's hard to know when it's time to walk away or when it's time to let a client walk away, right?
Why do you think this it's so important for founders or agency owners to be good at this? Like, why is this an important conversation beyond, oh, it's really sad you lost this big client?
Well, I'd like to think that all of us feel like we're validated by our work. We've associated our personalities with that. And, you know, to quote that famous Sally Field line from the Oscars, damn it, they like me. They really like me. What happens if they stop liking me, right? What do we do then? It's me they're judging, not my company.
And this kind of loss seems so inevitable.
Yeah.
in a way, well, I'll speak for myself and in my field, if I do a really good job, all of my clients leave me. They get better and they don't need me anymore. You know, like if I'm really good at what I do, I say goodbye to everybody. And that's a tough thing to carry as a professional.
And it's almost we're setting up this expectation where they're going to need us forever, especially in digital. You know, there's technology is always changing, so they're always going to need us. Business changes. The client's needs change, and it's not always going to be in your best interest as a business to move your business model with whatever their needs are. But we're very slow to realize that because we're so invested in trying to do that.
One of the things you mentioned with this automotive client is the sense in which them being your client became part of your professional identity. Beyond, you know, they're just a name on your resume or your CV, but there was something about that relationship that became like deeply important to who you felt yourself to be as a professional.
I self-identified with, you know, this is part of what I do. Absolutely.
So it seems like, you know, there's probably a lot of business tactics, and I feel like I've sat through like numerous talks at all these conferences around, you know, getting rid of difficult clients or retaining clients, you know, just all of this conversation about clients leaving and staying. But I haven't heard so much about the emotional side, which is, you know, of course, I think what we're talking about today. But what beyond this sense of intertwined identity, like what do you think makes this so hard as an owner to see clients go?
The worry of what's next, the worry of failure in my particular case of, am I going to be able to get past this? Am I going to be able to replace not only the revenue, but the point of view of I'm doing something important. I'm doing something that I like. If you're deeply invested in a client long-term, I guess it depends on how differently you identify yourself from your business as an entrepreneur. Most of the entrepreneurs I know, they're as healthy as they'd like to feel about being balanced that way. On a daily basis, they get very involved. They feel very impacted by the decisions they make. If they started this as a small shop and they only had a few people, they were maybe part of the decision-making on a daily basis. And as they grow, they fall out of that decision-making process. And if you're losing a client because of something that you personally couldn't control, you have a team member who messed something up, you don't want to lose the team member because maybe that's the first time they've messed up. So you can't really take it out on your team member. So you have the responsibility as an entrepreneur, as a leader in your organization, to buck up and support your team member. One of the clients that we lost once was because the project management could have been done better. And a project manager had a history of doing things very well, but just messed this one thing up. Don't lose that project manager just because you're going to take it out on them. So you have, you know, that's just the business tip. But what that means for you personally is you had to eat all of that angst. As a leader, you can't sort of let them know that. You have to support them because they're worried about their job. They're worried about their other clients that work, that, you know, that you're working with. And that's what's best for your business. So you have to support your employees through the loss of this client. You have to be there for your employees and reassure them, and the business is going to go on and we're going to replace for this. And you have to worry about, you know, the business side, the exit interview and learning from this loss and the other things. It's hard to find that moment to say, okay, what did this mean for me personally? How am I going to balance myself for this?
You're absorbing all of the loss, like on both sides.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to hold.
Yeah. And whether you exercise to just get away from the computer or you have your hobbies or other things, it's important to take that moment. And again, I'm asking you, is it like a loss of a family member or something? Is there a mourning period? Do you need to go through these stages?
Are we talking about stages of grief?
Right. I mean, I think it's important.
Absolutely.
Brush it aside, it's going to eat away at you, right?
Absolutely. It's something that you've worked for. It's a relationship that you've cultivated. You've spent a lot of time and energy. And certainly in the case of this client that you talked about, 17 years is like, you know, longer than some people's marriages. Like, it's a really deep, long investment. And it is absolutely, I think, imperative that there's recognition of the loss and some space for the founder or the entrepreneur to be able to grieve that. Or to at least say, man, this is really hard. I hate that this is happening. So I think there's like practical steps that you can take to sort of streamline or ease the pain of the loss. And I know you've done some conversation about this and some presenting about this. And then I think there's just some good old fashioned like emoting. Sometimes I joke around with people in these kinds of conversations where it's like you have to like make your little altar that represents everything about that client and get some sage and like do a little ceremony where you really are acknowledging and honoring this as a loss and something that has been painful and something that's ending, and let that be, let it sit out there in the world. How have you attempted to kind of mitigate the pain of these experiences? So when a client is leaving and you're trying to take care of yourself and your team, what are some of the steps or the things that you have developed over time to make that an easier process, maybe a less emotionally raw process?
So in our business, we have what we shouldn't name a postmortem on projects. When a project goes out the door, we sit around and talk about what went well, what went badly, and that kind of thing. If you're losing a major client or an important client, I think it's important for your entire team, no matter how big or small the company is, to actually have that process of getting together internally and talking about, these are the things we really did well with this client. These are the things that we've learned. These are some of the things that we can do better next time. It's part of that, and again, I'm going, I guess, back to the stages of grief, but it's part of that closure, right, of being able to get past it. And it lets your team members see that you're trying to move through this and get past this as well. So you're leading them through it. It's really important, I think, to do that.
Yeah, I can think of lots of good psychological reasons to do that. You know, you're clarifying sort of everybody's role in what happened. You're working through any sort of sense of blame or mess up or screw up that people might have that needs to be kind of talked about or corrected, or, hey, we messed this up. Here's our game plan next time. Lots of professionals have this kind of debriefing session after a big event. And I think there's really a lot of like both research support and just wisdom in being able to get everybody on the same page for a conversation about what went well and what didn't go well.
Right. And that sort of leads me to the other side of the coin, right? So if you're surprised by a client announcing that they're going to leave you, that's what we've talked about so far. But sometimes you're just in a bad relationship and you need to make that call. It's very important to remember that if it's time for you as an entrepreneur to say this client's no longer a fit, start those conversations internally first. One of the things, and I know this may be client service specific as opposed to product specific, but hopefully whether you're in services or products, you have a really good attitude towards your client. A major trap is to fall into it's the client's fault in the way you speak internally, because it affects quality, it affects attitude, it affects culture. If for any reason it's time for you as a business owner to say, this client is no longer a good fit for us, you need to make sure that you're handling that conversation internally well, not just for the nervousness of we're going to lose a major client, what's going on, does this affect payroll, but also for the health of the culture. I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs say, you know what, we're just going to fire this client. That's the wrong terms to use. That's the wrong way to approach it. Anybody who's talking about firing clients is already starting on a bad foot. It's just time to let them get another experience.
Okay. And so why is that language so important to you? Why not fire a problematic client?
So I guess I'll draw the line at if a client's being abusive, if a client is rude to a team member, you absolutely have to literally fire them and call it what it is. Save that. It's a business problem, not a personal problem. And if it's not a personal problem, my opinion is you should be dealing with your clients as almost like the, what they say in the restaurant business, the client's always right, we're here to serve. So it's not a question of you're firing the client, it's a question of it's really not a good fit. They're looking for something else, and you're not willing to provide it at that price point, at that quality point, whatever the reason is. But if you're using the terminology of firing, it's because they did something personal and egregious, not something business-wise. And if you explain it in those terms to your team and yourself, you'll be able to healthily move along, I think, in that process.
So you're kind of naming it as this external problem that's neither internal to you, the service provider, or to the client, right? There is a failure to match between what we can provide at the price point that they are willing to pay. So that's, it's just neutral territory. There's no blame. There's no angst. It's just a failure of the numbers to work out.
Right.
And that all sounds really nice, but I know from talking with people, like, it often doesn't feel like that. You know, there's so much invested in trying to keep all clients, or there's such pain in going through the process of deciding not to work with a client or to terminate a relationship that's not, you know, panning out well. And I think we come back to that sense of loss and angst. And I think for some people, this real scarcity mentality, like, if I decline to work with this particular client, like, will there be another client to fill the gap?
Right.
Fear.
It starts with fear, especially when you're the one who has to make the call. If they've called you and said, we're not going to work any longer, we're not going to work together any longer, it's out of your control. But to be the one to pull the trigger when you're the one responsible for making your company move forward and grow, right? I don't want to lose that revenue. That's your first reaction. How am I going to replace that revenue? And you have to really move past that and say, what is this revenue costing me? Is my culture suffering? Are my profits suffering? What is the bottom line to the business? And a lot of the times it's, you know, you can go to the client and say, look, I realize you're not willing to move up scale with us. We're raising our rates. So it's time probably for us to talk about handing off to somebody else. We'll help you find somebody else. We will help you onboard somebody else. In a lot of the talks that I give about the business process of doing this, the more gracious you are, the more you help the client onboard somebody else, the more likely they are to come back. But the key message is a personal one, is a one that's an emotional one, is in making even breaking up a good experience, you will probably get referrals. They will come back to you if they realize, oh gosh, I went somewhere else and thought I could pay less and I didn't get the experience I got with you. You have to keep all that in mind while you're trying to override your own fears. And it's really hard to keep that level of grace and graciousness while you're so scared.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there who are the type of person that's like, well, there's nothing to be scared about. I'm just going to go out there and replace the client.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say for most of us, that's bravado.
Yeah, I think that all sounds good until it's 2 a.m. and you're wondering when or where that next client will come from and where the next round of payroll will come from.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know exactly how to deal with it. It's one thing to say if it's out of your hands, it's the grieving process and how you go through those steps. But are there tools that we can do to say, okay, this is best for my business? How do I move through the process of saying, in my mind, I want to let go of the fact of this fear? What can I do?
Yeah. You know, I think in a situation like this, where there's sort of this unfolding dilemma that does unfold over time, it's an old practice, but I'm kind of a fan of keeping a journal about it, of just having a space that's private where you keep track of your own thoughts. Because I think it's easy to think and rethink and think and rethink, and sort of like you described with the automotive client, and you use the phrase chasing the dragon. And, you know, I think if you can get your thoughts in one kind of cohesive place and keep track of them, it might save you some time and energy in trying to like recalculate over and over and over and provide a little more clarity for yourself about what really is the reality of the situation. So one strategy I think is helpful.
Yeah, I have a business partner, Jason Rosenbaum, and he is often frustrated, rightfully so, with me coming back and asking him the same question. And I'm just running it through my mind, right? And he's got all the patience in the world for me. So that's the tool that I use, but I'd probably be saving him a ton of grief if I actually just wrote these things down and
just have him transcribe your conversations.
That's right.
This is what we said, Kareem. And I think that sort of leads to a second strategy for kind of handling the emotional challenge of this is to have someone you can talk to about it. Often that's a business partner or someone who has as much invested in you and sort of feels the same ups and downs of it. You know, to have someone to bounce the ideas off of, but also have someone to sort of sit around and say, man, this really sucks. Like, we're disappointed, we're frustrated. You know, have some of those nitty-gritty emotion words be part of the conversation in a way that's appropriate and safe to, you know, the professional context. That's often quite helpful for people.
It's true, because for the rest of the team, you're always trying to be that leader. And the more they see you sweat, the more they're going to sweat. So it's really hard to keep that bravado in those moments. You know, for my team members who will be hearing this podcast, trying to be strong for you guys, but it doesn't mean that we don't think about these things in the middle of the night, right?
Right. That's why you get paid the big bucks, right? I do think that is hard for many CEOs, or especially solo founders who aren't in a partnership, because you do bear that weight by yourself, and there often isn't another person within your company that's the appropriate outlet for that conversation. So that's, you know, that's where a therapist or a business mentor or a coach, or again, someone who's a safe person to just talk through all of this emotional stuff, I think can be a great asset.
It's true, because there's some things that, as close as I am to my business partner, I need to work those things out before I bring it to him, because he might have his own issues that he's trying to work through. So, yeah, that makes sense.
I really appreciate the way that you talk about the importance of preserving your team. And I realize that it places a lot of weight on you, but the need to protect your team and protect their morale. And I think that is an important thing, which in the short run is probably more painful for you, but in the long run is an important investment in the well-being of your business.
Yeah, I mean, that goes past just losing clients, but also in the bad moments of the business. A whole other show is about transparency of business, but we try to be transparent of what's going on, but we also have to show the leadership of this is the problem, and this is the steps we've identified to try and get through it, and here's how far along we are in that process. If you're not constantly communicating that, you're probably not doing a good job of trying to create a good culture there. So this, like anything else, no matter what the problem is in the business, it's about that team as an organism.
Yeah, and helping them go through the loss through your postmortem or your debrief. That might be a more neutral term for you, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a little less macabre. So letting them be part of it, letting them kind of express their own experiences of what happened, what they want to do differently, et cetera. But then at the end of the day, you're the one who is sort of leading the emotional tone that you want them to carry forward. So, that seems kind of, if I could kind of maybe begin to wrap up, at least from our conversation today, I've heard you really value putting your team first in the midst of these difficult transitions of client losses, really working to end well with a client that's leaving by being gracious, by being helpful, by, you know, maintaining the same level of professionalism that you always strive to have. And that's true even in a difficult situation. And even being thoughtful about the way that you talk about clients and the ending process, this sort of language of this isn't a fit or this isn't working well for both of us, rather than we're firing you because you're a pain in the ass.
Right.
And then, of course, this deeper narrative of what it does to you, the CEO or the founder, when you're in the midst of a loss of relationship, often one that you've worked hard to cultivate, and you have to kind of bear the emotional weight of that. So I tossed around a couple strategies. Are there other things that have I been helpful to you?
I think you have. Again, you know, there's so much out there on the internet about what the business steps are, but you know, I guess it's about trying to understand what the balance is of between being there for your team and really going through the process yourself, so you're not left with this pent up upset about it as an entrepreneur, as the owner.
Yeah, give space to grieve, and then I would say get some support. Find a space to talk about it that's appropriate and okay.
Definitely.
As I sort of said about my own business, like, this is a really hard part of this work, is you develop relationships with clients and you care about them, you're invested in them. And then again, if you do a good job, at least in my case, they leave you. And that's not easy. It's the challenge of being in this work.
It's true. Yeah. Well, thank you. That helps me anyway. I hope there's more entrepreneurs out there who won't take it as hard when their sales are down and they're losing clients.
I don't know that. I mean, I think it's, I don't know about that. I think it's important to be invested, to care, you know, to care about the happiness of your clients. That's part of why this hurts, right? Is because you do care.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. You do absolutely need to care. I mean, that's one of the tenets, is make the best possible client experience. Otherwise, go do something else. Get out of services. You need to know where to draw that line once the decision is made one way or the other. Be all right with it.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me about this, talking about your breakup stories.
Well, thank you for having me.
And if people want to sort of keep track of what you're doing or follow you or watch some of your talks online, where can they learn all about you and get connected to you for more great wisdom?
Well, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Kareem Maruki, as well as up from my website, maruki.com, where I hope to be posting more soon, and I'll be listing more of my talks and videos there for folks.
Cool. Sounds good. We'll put those links in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.